Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18 this morning. And I'm very mindful there's food back there and many of you have cooked. And I'll try not to be too lengthy. And also, yes, that would be very bad of me. This is my wife's parents. This is my in-laws. And that wasn't intentional. Hey, man, I've got a preacher's itch. She's always got to keep it scratched. So when I'm ready to preach, I kind of jump to it. This is Bob. That's our stepfather. I mean, that's her stepdad. My in-law, amen. And that's his mom, Rhonda. Her mom, Rhonda. And that's a little sister, Abby, somewhere. But she's shy. And she's in children's church. So I'm sorry about that. It wasn't intentional. I say that's my in-laws or outlaws, all the same thing, right? Amen. I give them a hard time. I appreciate them. They've been so supportive, wonderful people. And as you can tell, she loves playing the piano for the Lord. And my wife really wanted to sing with her, but we'll get her next time. Amen. We've got to move along in the service. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19, one verse of Scripture. And we're just going to read there, and that's a rarity for me. But 18 and 19 says this, "Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven." I'm going to read it again. "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth..." That's hard to do, isn't it? "If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything..." That's a big word. Anything. It goes on to say, they shall ask, "It shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven." Amen. I want to preach to you just for a little bit on being in harmony with heaven. Being in harmony with heaven. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your kindness. We appreciate all that you do, God. We appreciate this church, Lord. Appreciate my family. Appreciate the ordination service. Holy Ghost, let us be obedient to you today. We've already felt your presence this service. I trust we're obeying you. I trust we're following the leading of your Spirit into the Word. And we ask you in the name of Jesus, God, let your Word touch hearts. Minister the minds and spirits today. We need your anointing. We need your touch. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And we'll give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I often say this very popular phrase, but there's two bases that make up the spirit of expectancy. And these two bases are this, is that God cannot lie and God has promised. I'm going to say that again because we're not even hearing it. God cannot lie. Amen. And God has promised. So therefore, if we put together this very important truth that God cannot lie and that God has given us promises, this should make us fully assured to come to the house of God with a spirit of expectation. If God can't lie, it is impossible for Him to do that. And He has given us certain promises that we can live on and react at and live in the life of a believer. Every one of us in this building today ought to be here with a full mind and a full spirit to receive something at the hand of our God, Lord Jesus Christ. Now understand this today because this is something very important I believe ought to be addressed. I'm pleading today for unity among us as a body, among us as a church. I know during transitions there's often a lot of things that go on and naturally come with that. I know that because I just moved. Somebody say amen. There's transitions. There's changes. There's things that have to be done. And in that, if we're not careful, we have to make sure that we maintain a spirit of unification among each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we understand today we're dealing with this very popular subject of unity. It is amazing that I have found how easy it is for the world to be unified and not the church. It is amazing that you can look at false doctrine and even false denominations and wonder that you go past their big structures and their big buildings and somebody had to agree together to get that thing built. Amen. I remember on the way to Maryland, you passed this ginormous Mormon temple. I mean, it's massive. It's humongous. When you go past it, you think to yourself, man, that big building for a false doctrine and a false gospel. But you think to yourself, my Lord, they had to get together somewhere at a table with a vision, with an understanding to do something. And there they became unified. And there they built that massive structure. Like I said, it is amazing how it is for the world to get unified, but how difficult it is for the body of Christ to find unification among each other. You see, the problem is this. It's called unity in diversity. Now, you maybe never heard that term, but when you look on the back of a quarter, it says, United we stand. But we're a very diverse people. That is unity in diversity. That means that I've been teaching on Wednesday nights, there are preferences and there are principles. We unify on the principles and we learn to love each other and compromise for each other's preferences, so to speak, that we can get along, that we can forward the gospel, that we can preach the gospel, that souls can be won, that young people are happy, that the older are happy. It's a very difficult process, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Amen. Now, you may not feel it all the time out there, but I'm telling you, up here in this cubicle, I feel it. It's here. It's always a striving to be unified in our diversity. But I want to just point out something here today I believe is very important. That unity is not so much a feeling as much as it is a decision. Unity is not so much a feeling as it is a decision. You can take it right down to your marriage. You don't always feel unified. Amen. But you decide to be unified. Because you know, thus saith the Lord God. You know that union is put there. You have become one flesh. So understand this today, when it comes to worship, singing, preaching, and prayer, understand it is first a decision. It must first be acted upon in your spirit and in your mind. You must say to yourself, I want to go to church and I want to be unified. When I come here today, I could have the spirit of, I don't feel like worshiping with you. That would be horrible. But the truth is, I choose to worship with you. I've made that decision already. It is already there. When I come through the doors, I say, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to magnify Him. Understand today, friend, unity is a very powerful tool. You can look in the book of Genesis when they're building the Tower of Babel. My Lord, they were a unified bunch, even to the place that when God came down, He said, if I don't do something to stop them, they're going to build this building. So what did He do? He gave them different languages. He began to sow where they could not communicate. And I believe the devil has done the same thing in a sense. He's seen the body of Christ. He knew they were going to do what they decided to do. If they stayed unified, if they came together in one mind and one accord, they knew that they would reach the world. And the devil gave us a new idea. Let's give them all different languages. Now, that's not a physical sense. But boy, the airwaves, I catch a few different up here, you know, different places I've been. You can feel different languages. I like this, I don't. I like John Donner, I like the piano, I don't. I like this song, I don't.
Yeah.
And there you have a major diversity of so many different opinions that if you're not careful, you'll lose the very glue that sticks us together, which is our choice to be unified. And if we're not unified, this place will implode. And you'll usually find, which I don't say that's the case here, that if you're not busy reaching out, we have a tendency to reach in. If you're not busy reaching out, you usually end up reaching in. So you say, Brother Derek, I don't like this. Or maybe, Brother Derek, I don't like this. And maybe in the future, I don't know everything. I ain't got it put on loose leaf paper. It is as thus saith the Lord. You follow His Spirit. But I promise you this, we can get together. We can love each other. We can grow. We can see souls won. We can see people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All because we choose to be unified.
That's right.
Unity. Very simple, isn't it? A very simple term. Matter of fact, Jesus would say, Father, I want them to be one as we are one. Now you find the separation in the Trinity and I'll pat you on the back. We have trouble just describing it. Much less understanding it. Now move along today, understand, friend, that this says this in Deuteronomy 32 and 30. How should one chase a thousand? You ever heard it? One chase a thousand? But the Bible says, and two can put 10,000 to flight. My Lord, I ain't that good at math. You can look at my transcript, so to speak. You know, I'm not the best at it. Never took calculus. But if one can put 1,000, my mind thinks that two can put 2,000. It's just the way I'm wired. I'm sorry about that. But understand, in the eyes of God, He said, if one can put 1,000 to flight, He said, my God, if you give me two that can agree and intertwine themselves together, He said, with my power and with my anointing, 1,000 would be good if it was just two people. He said, but look, one, I'll let you put 1,000, but if two come together, we'll put 10,000 to flight. Amen. Woo! Now you do the math. You do the math. I don't know how many people's in Hampton, Virginia. But if every one of this, if we pair off on Tuesday, and you get 10,000, and you get 10,000, and you get 10,000, I believe we'll knock it out eventually. My God, friends, I'm trying to get you to understand this, that unity is a principle in Scripture, that you have to come to the conclusion that we must be unified, we must bind ourselves together, we must find unity in diversity, we must love each other, we must hold each other's hands up and learn to be unified in diversity and choose to be unified. Amen. Now back to my text, it says this, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth, as I said, difficult process. If two of you shall agree, where? Down here. Right here on earth. It's your neighborhood, mine too. Down here on earth. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now I want to point out something here. That in the Hebrew, this word agree. The word here is a very unique word. It means symphonio. You ever heard of a symphony? I mean, it's beautiful, isn't it? I mean, they all seem to be orchestrated where it's going up and it's just you there. You're smiling. It's encore. Clapping your hands. That must have been an amazing job. He put that piece of music together. That's called a symphony. It is beautiful. It's harmony. That word symphonio here is where we... That symphonio in the Hebrew is where we get our word symphony from, or where we get our word harmony from. And understand this, friend. He said, if any of you, any two of you on earth shall come into symphony touching anything, ask my Father, and He will do it. Amen. Now, I'm not much of a singer. That's why I don't sing with my wife all the time. Yeah. But I've heard preachers that don't care about that, and they'll still sing anyhow. And it's not harmony. It's definitely not symphony. Amen. She's over there singing like an angel, and he's going, you know, and you can tell he just preached a revival or something, and you're thinking to yourself, my Lord, brother, you know, put it up, you're hindering the service or something. Amen. You're not here. Don't think, hey, but understand this, friend. It's so beautiful. You can tell when somebody has harmony with each other. You can tell when somebody has practiced and learned to know each other's voice and learned to find their place. And I'm telling you today, friend, that's what we must do. We must learn to find and get in harmony with each other. And more than with each other, we must learn to be in harmony with heaven. I don't want to sing a tune Christ ain't singing, spiritually speaking. I don't want to skip around and do my own thing. I want to say, God, what are you doing and what would you have me to do? Amen. That's what it's all about, friend. It's about being in harmony with heaven. Notice that it said, if two of you shall agree on earth. That tells us that the problem is not in heaven. Amen. I'm not for one instant in my life going to point my finger to God and say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing up there, but get it straight. I would never have that audacity because He's omnipresent, because He's all-knowing, because He's immutable, because He's transcendent. I know everything. He's everything. There's nothing in Him that's flawless. But the problem is right here with you and I. You said, Brother Derek, I'm waiting to hear from God. You just did. He said, get unified. I see Him. I'm waiting for the Holy Ghost to give me a new direction. Let's find some old direction. Know that it's finished at Calvary and learn to operate in the finished work. Amen. We're always looking for new revelation. I want a greater revelation of what's already been done. So look, friend, there's no problem. I promise you this. God doesn't have one trouble with an angel in heaven right now. He cast him out a long time ago. And his name was Satan, that old serpent, the devil. He's not there anymore. He don't have trouble with unity in heaven. They're unified for the kingdom of God. They're looking down this very moment. They're looking around wanting to pursue and see souls won and see the kingdom forwarded because they're unity, because they're unified. But God's looking at me and you and saying, get unified. And if we do, you don't even comprehend in this room what will happen. I'm going to say that again because we think sometimes we've reached the climax. But I'm like Paul, I ain't apprehended yet. Sometimes we might need to sing that child song, he's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be. I'm not there yet, friend. I'm undesiring. It is my spirit's, expectation that when we come to the house of God, that we link arms, that we pray with each other, that we find our position, that we back one another up, that the older will look to the younger, the generation to generation, and say, you can make it. And the younger to the older, and say, we can make it. And there, in unity and diversity, we figure out how to serve Him and be effective in these last days. It's my heart's desire. As a pastor. Now hear me today, friend, because this is the thing. Everyone in this room must find their position. And I know some family don't go here, but you still got to find it. No matter where you're at, you need to find your position. Find out what God wants you to do. You say, Brother Derek, I'm not called to preach. Well, a lot of people ain't. But you still got to do something. We're not called to just sit on pews. We're not called just to warm pews. We're not called just to be here and survive. We're called to knock down the gates of hell because they cannot prevail against us. We must go forward.
Amen.
You ever thought about that? That's an offensive term. The gates of hell shall not prevail. We're not on defense, church. We're on offense. When I used to play a little backyard football, defense wasn't my thing. It was all right. Even basketball's all right, but you like making a touchdown. You like sinking a three. And if I could dunk, I'd like to slam dunk too.
Amen.
I like offense. And I like being a believer. Because we're on offense. If the devil, hear me, always has you on the defense, you are going to be rendered useless in the kingdom of God. If you're here today and you're always on defense because you got an attitude problem or some sort of addiction or some sort of lust problem or something like that, you'll always find yourself going backwards because a lot of times in defense, you'll find yourself in the flesh trying to take on the enemy and you find yourself going further back and further back and further back until that day you get born again. You look at the devil and say, I'm not going that way no more. I'm going that way. And there we're promised through the power of God that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. That's meaning you can go to the gates of hell and kick them open.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Kick them wide open and say, I'm here for that one. I'm here to do this. I'm here for that soul. Hear me today, friend. We must learn to find our position in the kingdom of God. And I'm not much for false humility. Amen?
Yeah.
False humility is something like this. I'll let another brother do it. You know, I know he wants to, and we'll let him do it. And I know we do that out of kind heart sometimes, but sometimes it don't. There's been times I did it out of laziness. Amen? I like being transparent, amen? So you can shoot at me all you want. I'm up here, and when I'm transparent, it goes right through me, amen? You can say, well, he has a problem, I already know, amen? Understand, you know, false humility sometimes doesn't get you but so far. It takes individuals knowing what they are called to do. Hear me today, friend. It comes a point in our life we must ask us as a body of believers, it's not what I want, but what does the Holy Ghost want to do? I'm going to say that again. It's not so much what I want to do, but God, what are you doing? What are you saying? And there, you find yourself etching out a lot of our personal preferences and say, Holy Ghost, you are allowed to move in any form you desire to move. And that's with every believer, including myself. There comes a place in your life where opinions and ideas all should die, where it really doesn't matter as long as God has His way. It's an important principle. Now understand, when we come to Luke 24 and 49, it says this, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power." We know that this is he's talking about Pentecost. He's telling his disciples, "Look, stay in Jerusalem till you're filled with the Holy Ghost." But there's something I want to point out to you today that I want you to understand, that the Lord told them they needed to tarry. That word tarry in the Bible means this literally. It means to sit down and learn your position. Let me tell you why we have so much trouble in churches. A lot of times people have never taken the time to tarry and sit down and listen to the voice of God and what He desires. You say, "Brother Derek, was that important for the disciples?" Yes, it was. We had a man by the name of Peter who said, "Nobody's going to wash my feet." Others were scheming for the top seat, and Thomas was full of doubt. They needed to learn their position. They were not unified. They were not together. They were not in the same mind. He had mixed up disciples tarrying there looking for the proper seat in the kingdom of God. But you know what they did? For 10 days they prayed and they tarried and they came out the upper room full of the Holy Ghost, knowing what their position was in the kingdom of God.
Amen?
So I would encourage you in this church and every church in this world, if we're going to grow and go forward, we must be unified, but we must know our positions. We need altar workers. That's a position. We need worshipers. Position. Whatever position God puts you in, fill that position and live that life to the fullness of God. That's what the Bible said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And we know the story. For 10 days they got together, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one. They were all with one accord in one place. It hadn't happened here yet. Let me tell you, I said we're together in unity in certain things. But I don't remember a service last time when I stumbled out in the street so drunk in the Holy Ghost that the neighbors were saying, "What's going on here?" I'm just being transparent with you. I've been filled. But you know what? I heard one person say, "You know, we give the Baptists a hard time about once saved, always saved, but us Pentecostals, once filled, always filled." It's true. Jesus Christ had the Spirit without measure. I want everybody in this room today, measure the Spirit that's in your life. It's convicting, isn't it? And the finger of God comes on my nose too. I need to do more. I want to do more. And I know, look, I understand it's a busy life we live, but I'm desiring to have an Acts chapter 2 church. You say, "Brother Derek, why that one?" Because that's the blueprint for the church. That's where it came from. The Holy Ghost organized it. He gathered it. He put it together. He orchestrated it. He led it. We all need to be more and more willing and more fluid in spirit that we can have a visitation from heaven that would disrupt everything in our lives and we could know it was nothing but God Himself. Now hear me today, friends, because this is important. In the upper room, they had to choose to be unified. Mary could have looked at Peter and said, "Peter, you ran when us women stayed. We were there at the cross. Where were you, Peter? Jellyfish spine. You the one that gave up when a girl asked you if you knew Jesus." Peter could have looked at Mary and the custom of that day. "You're a woman. You ain't supposed to be in here. We're praying." Amen. They could have chose to be disunified. But no, they got together. Mary looked over at Peter and said, "Peter, I know it was a tough situation. Jesus forgive you. I forgive you. It's all right." And he looked at Mary and said, "I'm glad you're here. Let's pray and tarry until the promise comes. Let's learn our position. Let's figure out what we're supposed to do, where God wants us, where He wants us to go." And there Pentecost came. Amen. It's the Bible. That should excite you to say, "I want to be unified." Now someone will rise up with you and say, I want to grab my wife and be more spiritual with her. I want to look at my family and be more spiritual with them. I want to look at my church members and bind arms together and go forward and do the will of God for this community. Amen. Now hear me today, friend, because this is something. When they learn to be unified, they learn to function as the body of Christ. They learn to function. I encourage you, friends. You're here today and there's any boundaries as far as separation from friends, family, anybody in the church, take you a good old sledgehammer and knock it down in the Spirit. Get through it. And some stuff, get over it.
Amen.
I'm a preacher, not a babysitter. I'm a preacher, not a cheerleader. We preach the Word. We don't live by our feelings, and we go forward. Your feelings will have you in conflict the rest of your life if you let them. But your spirit will say, I can overcome it. I can forgive. I can do this. The Holy Ghost will say yes when the flesh is saying no. Amen. We've got to learn our position. Every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room, this is important. We must preach it and teach it. And I want to show you what happens when somebody does not learn their position. In the book of Acts chapter 5, we're dealing with the Pentecost and the unity they have. We dealt with this and understand when it came to Acts chapter 5, there was a man by the name of Ananias and his wife Sapphira.
Yeah.
Now get this. That church is like a well-oiled machine right then. I mean, think about it. 3,000 saved. 5,000 saved. Crippled getting healed. Angels opening doors. I mean, it's to having revival. They're seeing Pentecost. They're unified. They know what they're doing. Some are even selling their houses and land and giving it to the apostles for the forwarding of the gospel. I mean, they're seeing unity. They're reaching the world. And it's amazing to think, hear me today, friend, that the book of Acts covers a 30-year span. And you know how long Jesus lived? It's a picture of the new body of Christ. Covers about 33 years. Unified. Where's the body? Understand this. But Acts chapter 5, we know the story. The Ananias sold something and held part of it back. He went to Peter and Peter said, what has tempted you to lie to the Holy Ghost? And he dropped dead. Now that's not very inviting, is it? Makes you think twice about praying for revival. Huh? I told somebody that one time and I know my wife's heard it 20 times, but kept talking about revival, fire, 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 and revival, fire, 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 and revival, and water, and soul, and spirit, all the whole of it, they name it all. And I said, you really want revival, brother? I said, that's where people were healed, but people dropped dead too. And it was the spiritual that dropped dead, the ones that claimed to be spiritual. Now understand, when he came in life, we know that he died, but we know his wife came back and understand it says this, Acts 5 and 9, she lied as well. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Now that word agree there is the same word agree that I read to you in the book of Matthew. It means this. It means, basically says, how is it that you have come in symphony to the things that have tempted the Spirit of God? What have you come in this church with today that you're in harmony with? Think about it. You came to this church today and you're in harmony with something. Either the flesh or the Spirit. Now here the Holy Ghost is moving. The church is going forward. But all of a sudden you have this couple who was not willing to get in the moving of the Spirit of God and willing to pray and figure out what they were doing and how they were to operate. And God had to deal with them in a very severe way. Now understand this. This is something we all must understand. He said, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Holy Ghost? They have yoked themselves up to tempt the Holy Ghost. I've seen people come to church and they're more in tune with the world than they are what's going on in church. I've seen them come to church and they're more in tune with Fox News, which says a lot of good things. Hey man, ain't nothing wrong with good news and figure out what's going on in the world. But I don't want to be in harmony with it.
Amen.
I want my spirit to be in unison with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And Paul speaks often of the unity of the Spirit. That's why we can read throughout the Bible, and I'm not going to take much longer. In Psalms 133, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments." It said how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. As my wife makes her way to the piano, hear this today. If it's good and pleasant to be in unity, I can take that and understand it's not good and pleasant to not be in unity. So if it's good to be in unity, think about this. What is the opposite of that? Bad. Now that word good in the Bible has, in life, definition has three different meanings. It means morally right. It's morally right to be in unity today. So I could take that and say, well, it's morally wrong not to. Amen. That word also, when you begin to study it, intellectually excellent to be in unity. So I could also take that and say, it's kind of silly not to be. And that word goal, when you study it further, it means it's psychologically healthy. It's peaceful and joyful. I enjoy it. So I could go on to say it's psychologically unhealthy not to be in unity. Have you ever been somewhere and you knew they didn't want you there? I don't enjoy it. And there's tension in the room. If you play something softly and stand to your feet this morning. I heard a story one time, it was very interesting, and we'll move along. I know we have dinner back there and everything. It's been a long morning, I know. But understand this, I heard a story one time, it's kind of comical. That old Peanuts cartoon, it was about Charlie Brown. And one fellow was sitting there, Lucy demanded that Linus change the TV channels. Linus looked at Lucy and said, "How are you going to make me?" She held up five fingers and said, "Individually, they're nothing. But when I put them together, you better watch out." Linus gave her the remote control and said, "Do what you want." And turning away, he looks at his fingers and says, "Why can't you do that?" I feel that the world's got its fists balled up at the church. And they're unified in what they're doing against us. That's how the homosexual agenda and so many other agendas have been passed. You know why? Because they got together on it. I look at the church and say, why can't we do that? Why can't we do that? We have the words of eternal life. Our God not only dwells in this world, He created it. Greater is He that is in you that is in this world. Read a story some while back, and I'll let you, we'll come around the front of this church and pray. Well, several years ago, there was a certain man that accompanied mountain climbers on an expedition. And one of the things this man began to look at and began to study on how he began to look in and observe the correlation between the cloud cover and the climber's cooperation. He said when the clouds was clear, when there's no clouds there, and they could see that mountain peak together, he said they would talk to each other, they would climb. He said they just had so much momentum. And when they would set up camp and it would be another day and the clouds were set in, he said you would be surprised how much just hiding the view of the peak made such a difference in how them climbers got along. I tell you, church, you know what we need to do? We need to keep God's glory and His majesty within view all of the time. You say, "Brother Derek, what about this? What does God want?" Brother Derek, I think, what does He think? Now, it's all right to have a... We get together. That's how we function. We think. We love each other. We work together. But any time, church, hear me, that anybody's preference or personal agenda or anything in my life or yours as a body of Christ begins to lose sight of the mountain peak of God's glory and majesty, we won't make it. We won't make it. Any time a marriage loses sight of God's majesty, it'll crumble. Anytime a relationship anywhere in your life brother, sister, son, or any of it. When you lose sight of God's majesty, that is the glue that holds us together. Choose unity this morning. Choose unity. I'm going to open these altars up for a season of prayer this morning. If you would, empty your pews.